Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm watching these never-Trumpers out there, and I'm asking myself the question, where exactly is the never-Hillary movement? I'm watching Republicans abandon their cause because they seem to find fault with the messenger. Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's Douglas Urbanski here, filling in for my friend Michael Savage. He's not here today. He'll be back soon. The phone number here is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'll say it again, 1-855-400-7282. So where is the most logical movement of all? The Never Hillary movement. And who are these people, these Never Trumpers? Because I think they're doing us all a tremendous disservice, ladies and gentlemen. They're trying to, look, everything that they base themselves on begins with one very false premise. We'll be getting into who they are, by the way, during today's show. But it begins with one very false premise. And the false premise all of the Never Trumpers have going is this. They have to begin with this particular thought, and that is, would Ted Cruz be doing better in the polls today? All these conservatives who have the Trump... I listened to some conservative talk show hosts here in Los Angeles this morning, where I'm broadcasting from. I heard one conservative say on the air definitively that Trump was going to lose the election. Do you think that's true? Do you think he is? How can they say this? They're making this assumption based upon one, you have to begin this train of thought with one false idea. And that is, the assumption is that Ted Cruz would be doing better than Donald Trump. That Ted Cruz would be having an easier time. Do you believe that for a second, ladies and gentlemen? I have some things to say about Ted Cruz in today's broadcast. They're not all good. In fact, there's none of them good because I've seen nothing good in this man. But I guarantee you this. They would be giving him a harder time than Donald Trump. They would be attacking him because the narrative of how they attacked anyone on the Republican side is already crafted and written in stone. It doesn't matter if you say something right, something wrong, something sarcastic, something funny. It doesn't matter at all. The narrative is already written in stone. So the question is, the assumption they begin with is that Ted Cruz would be doing better. He'd be having an easier time. They say Donald Trump's definitely going to win, but that means that they're also saying that Donald Trump is definitely going to lose, excuse me, and what they're meaning is that Ted Cruz was definitely going to win. And I'm telling you, that Ted Cruz was such a flawed person, a flawed individual, a flawed character, and most of all, a flawed candidate. A flawed candidate. First off, he could never get over the creepy factor when he came into your house on the television screen. Which brings me to the question. If you, and you can call in with this on the Savage Nation at 1-855-400-SAVAGE. If you are not a leftist, do you have a moral obligation to vote Trump? And I believe that you do. Do you agree with me? So Trump gets in trouble because he's claiming something that Michael Savage and others have been pointing out, myself among them, for months, if not years at this point. Trump points out that Barack Obama founded ISIS. Who among you don't know what he meant when he said that? And he's getting in trouble. He's getting in trouble. The outrage. It's outrageous, I tell you, that he said such a thing. It's outrageous, isn't it? How dare Donald Trump? By the way, it's vintage Trump, isn't it? Vintage Trump to say that Obama founded ISIS. And yet there's outrage. And it's saying those sort of things, by the way, is exactly what got Donald Trump the nomination to start with. And yet there's outrage. Ladies and gentlemen, There is a very ugly, disturbing, seamy underside of political correctness. It means that everything that someone on the right utters must be taken literally. There's no room for humor. There's no room for imagination. There is no room for understatement. There is no room for suggestion. Everything anyone says on the right, especially Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, if it had been him, is being interpreted as being meant exactly as it was said. And therefore, everything anyone on the right says is an insult and confirms the worst of the worst of the worst about anyone on the right side of things. And moreover, we got these rules now about how you're allowed to speak, what you're allowed to say, don't you see? A person says that, and then they start to say, the narrative becomes, well, that person is a little off, isn't he? That person is very biased, because, ladies and gentlemen, when you are policing speech, Everything that you say may be and will be used against you in the court of political correctness. That is why we are not permitted to make jokes. Because jokes are offensive. Because if you make them, it means you must really mean it. Bill Maher gets an exception. Professional comedians get an exception. They get to say anything they want if they're on the left, because they're on the side that is acceptable. Now, you and I know, does anybody hearing my voice believe that Trump meant that Obama actually founded ISIS, that he held a meeting and founded it? Of course not. Of course not. Donald Trump is doing what Donald Trump does. He is suggesting, through the use of a little drama and a little humor, that Obama is responsible for ISIS. And you and I know that he is saying that Obama, by withdrawing all the U.S. combat troops from Iraq, he undoubtedly is responsible for the founding of ISIS. And ladies and gentlemen, Trump is saying things that need to be said. Some of you may even think, wow, I'm glad he said that. He's reading my mind. Obama founded ISIS, or Obama's failed policy helped found ISIS, which they're both the same exact thing. Of course, you know which one gets more attention. It's because of what Donald Trump said, because he's Trump. Reagan, Bush, 41, they had great prosperity. They ended the Cold War. They kicked Saddam out of Kuwait. Clinton, however, gave us Enron, the coal, 9/11. He missed bin Laden numerous times. And Obama gave us ISIS. And high debt, and a phony economy, and a few other things. Donald Trump holds the promise that he will clean up the mess, and that he's not buyable, bribable, or threatened, or intimidated by the press, who at this point have gone way, way, way beyond a liberal bias. I mean, do you think, ladies and gentlemen, that because it's become such a cliche to say that the press has a liberal bias, it's not a liberal bias. And which do you think it is? A liberal bias? A. B, they're a wing of the DNC. Or C, the press, the media, are a 40-year promoter of the socialist agenda. And if you pick C, well, you can call in. It's Douglas Urbanski. You're filling in for Michael Savage. 1-855-400-7282 is the number. When Donald Trump said that Obama founded ISIS, it was short, it was to the point, and ladies and gentlemen, it happens to also have been 100% accurate. Both Obama and Hillary, both of them, through their actions and their lack of actions as well, they created the atmosphere in which ISIS grew. Is there any doubt in anyone hearing my voice's mind about this? And anybody who doesn't understand the point of Trump's words are utterly blind to reality. Moreover, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump does not sprinkle, a spoonful of sugar over these words ever. Ever, ever, ever. He asserts that Obama and Hillary Clinton are the founders of ISIS. The mainstream media, wing of the Democrat Party, 40-year socialist agenda, they come down hard because of political correctness, particularly from anybody who challenges what some commentators call call a very stupid, illiterate, offensive thing to say. The mainstream media know perfectly well, as do you, what Trump meant about the policies of Obama and Hillary Clinton and the things they didn't do that led to the birth of ISIS. And by the way, Trump wasn't the first to say that Clinton and Obama were founders of ISIS. Millions of people worldwide had said so and still do and think it. And by the way, not only has Michael Savage said it and written about it, get this, a name drop. Vladimir Putin said it. The Dalai Lama, remember him? He was once rudely shown out of the White House via the garbage exit. They both said it too. No one, not even German Chancellor Angela Merkel, she's pretty far out there in showing sympathy for ISIS. No one has shown more sympathy for ISIS than Barack Hussein Obama and his trained sidekick Hillary Rodham Clinton. So Obama calls it the JV team. Trump calls it exactly for what... Oh, and by the way, I got a montage here that we're going to play, a little sound montage. Ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton herself once accused Donald Trump of working for the Islamic State. She did, long before Donald Trump said that, you know, Hillary and Obama were the founders of the Islamic State. She said that he was their best recruiter, that Donald Trump was their best recruiter. I want to play you this. You don't have to wait, Robert, till we get to the other side of the break, and I'll tell you something. You want to hear this. But she said they are going... There, he said this. He said, oh, Mr. Trump was becoming ISIS' best recruiter. Hillary said this. She said, they're going to people showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists. And by the way, when she said that, there was no such thing happening. She was being interviewed on ABC's World News Tonight by anchor David Muir and about Donald Trump's comments about Muslims. And this was in December of 2015, during a Democrat presidential debate. There were a lot of fact checkers. They rated her statement as false. And yet the Clinton campaign, they kind of walked back her claim a little bit later. That didn't make any headlines. However, this is what's interesting. There was, get this, an ISIS recruiting video that featured Bill Clinton, along with Obama and George Bush in existence, not Trump. And then it was two short weeks, after Hillary Clinton's claim that a recruitment video featuring Donald Trump appeared. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm playing that audio on the other side of this break. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Many questions to put on the table today. Many questions for you. But first off, who are these never-Trumpsters? And where are the never-Hillary people? Where's that movement? We'd like to know. Douglas Urbanski, we'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation, it's Douglas Urbanski filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. The phone number, 1-855-400-SAVAGE. The boards are lighting up. I'll get to your calls, I promise. Some great callers online there. The question, ladies and gentlemen, is this. If all of these never-Trumpers begin saying they're never-Trumpers, I'm putting it to you that if you are not a leftist, you have a moral obligation to vote for Trump. Who are these never-Trumpers, and where is the never-Hillary movement? It's all based on the idea that Ted Cruz would be doing better in the polls. He would be so far behind. He would never be able to catch up. And I hear one conservative after another on the radio and elsewhere saying it's guaranteed that Trump is going to lose. I don't know about that, folks. I don't know about that at all. The Democrats are acting in a way that is very scared of Trump. Very nervous about Trump. Why on earth do you think that the media narrative is full onslaught with lie after lie after lie after lie? When Donald Trump says that the media is disgusting and dishonest, he's not joking. And you know and I know. I'm not going to spend all my time here bashing the media because it's such a cliche. But it's way, way, way beyond media bias, isn't it? It's way, way, way beyond the fact that they're a wing of the Democrat Party. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the media has been on a 40-year socialist agenda path. You got these Republicans out there, these never-Trumpers, ready to abandon their cause and allow Hillary Clinton to be installed in the White House. And if you want to get, because they have fought with the messenger, if you want to get into a question of character, I can make a long, impassioned, intelligent, and convincing argument for you that the question of character, in fact, is where it's the most important question in the election. The question of character. Now, I was talking about Donald Trump, and I was talking about the fact that he said these things about Obama founding ISIS. Do you think Obama was, do you think Trump was right about saying Obama founded ISIS? Do you understand what he meant? I think everybody understands what he meant. I've got this montage I want to play you, because here's where Hillary Clinton basically says that Donald Trump was a, she says it last December, she says, and the media doesn't go crazy, the media doesn't hold her to account, you know, vanishes, because the whole story is to build up this woman, build, tear down the opposition, tear down the Republican, no matter who it is. This is where she says Donald Trump is the greatest recruiting tool that ISIS has. Let's play clip one.
I think it's somewhat ironic to see some members of Congress wanting to make common cause with the hardliners in Iran. It's an unusual coalition.
I think the kinds of rhetoric that we've heard too often from Mr. Trump and others is ultimately helping to do ISIL's work.
He is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists.
So you've got a repugnant candidate like Hillary Clinton. He's already indicated the same sort of thing. Donald Trump speaks the facts, he speaks reality, and away they go criticizing him. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. And let's get real here. The time has come for these never-Trumpsters to stand down and to keep quiet and to shut up, because it's becoming absurd. It's an act of giant self-deception. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the election is only, it's under 3 months away, I think, at this point. We have only one thing that we've got to concentrate on, and that is getting Donald Trump elected. Because the narrative against him, I'm sorry to say, often pushed by so-called conservatives who are nothing, who are not even connected with the idea of what conservatism genuinely is, the idea of defeating him is coming from within with these never-Trumpsters. We have one thing to do, which is to elect Donald Trump. You know, Trump may lack experience and he may have certain qualities that make you queasy from time to time. I'll address those shortly. But ladies and gentlemen, look at the record of his detractors. Look at the record of Hillary Clinton. Look at the character of Hillary Clinton. By the way, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. Get to your calls in a moment. But where are the Never Hillary people? Where are they? And do you agree with me that if you are not a leftist, do you have a moral obligation to vote for Trump? Was Donald Trump right about saying Obama founded ISIS? And do you understand, as I think everybody did, what he meant when he said that? Do you trust these polls? Oh, I've got some stuff about the polls that will surprise you, and I'm not grabbing at fantasy straws like some people may suggest we're doing. There's no Never Hillary movement really, really, really going on, and it's time for these Never Trumpsters to stand down, to shut up. They're vanity-driven at this point. They have absurd levels of self-promotion, absurd levels of self-deception. And they are helping this country lurch towards an unthinkable Hillary Clinton administration. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these never-Trumpsters, the Bushes, oh my goodness, go through the list of these characters. Their fingerprints are on the knife. as it gets plunged into Lady Liberty's back, you know, in the name of movement conservatism, and they won't even accept a proper definition for what that means. Now, on top of everything else, you've heard this before, it's a cliche, but it's true, and I can't emphasize it enough. The election is about control of the Supreme Court. You either have control of the Supreme Court, or you've got perpetual Democrat rule. Stay focused, people. Stay focused on this. We are told that the never-Trumpsters are true conservatives. Do you buy that for 1 second? I guarantee you they are not true conservatives. And if you want to know what I mean by that, stay tuned. You hear more of it. I got to go to the calls before I get to the next break. I promise I would. Frank in WABC, you've been holding for a very long time. How are you today, Frank? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Frank. Hey, how are you? I just want to say, as a loyal Trump supporter from the beginning, I am totally disgusted with him. And I think the RNC should remove him because he cannot stop making stupid comments. Every few days, he says something stupid. He picks a...
You know something, Frank? Frank, I got to say this. Frank, you may be a sincere man. I don't doubt your sincerity fully. But you've entered a phone call the way a seminar caller would, which is, I've been a longtime supporter, but... I'm blah, blah, blah. So I think we're just going to not continue the conversation, Frank. Sorry about that. No seminar callers here, because you got all the fingerprints of one. Not going to have it on the Savage Nation. I may be a fill-in host, but I smell the calls, even from California, Frank. I love WABC, by the way. Gino at WABC. You've been holding on, Gino, for a long time. What do you have to say?
Okay, first of all, I did support Ted Cruz. I did vote for him. But I will vote for Donald Trump because the alternative is a catastrophe waiting to happen. I don't want Hillary Clinton or Slick Willie back in the White House for any reason, most especially because they're going to replace one of the greatest jurists of all time, Antonin Scalia, with a left-wing maggot who's going to be the fifth Bolshevik on the Supreme Court.
And you know, Gino, hold on, take a breath. I'm concerned about your blood pressure. I think you, Gino, you have a superb use of vocabulary. I mean, I just compliment you there first. Secondly, you get the plot. You get it. So what do you? Are you passionate about this? You were a Cruz supporter. What do you think of these never-Trumpsters? What do you think? Do you agree with the comment I made earlier that we have got a moral obligation at this point, if you're not a hardcore leftist, to vote for Trump?
I don't believe in the moral obligation. I'm really looking at the practical reality of the situation. That's the only reason why the Trumpster will get my vote. But he is a walking gaffe machine. This guy is an eight-night live skit. The same way they went after Sarah Palin is the same way they're going to go after Donald Trump. Make him look and sound more stupid than what he really is and what he really says. But the alternative...
But you know something, Gino, and I know you're a smart guy, but even you and many smart people I know are buying into the false narrative. He never threw a baby out of the rally. You know what he meant when he said Obama founded ISIS. You know what he means, as do most people. And people are responding to this because they're feeling he's saying it like it is, and he's saying what's in their minds, you see.
I understand what he's saying, but unfortunately, you got 13 or 50 million other people, independents, moderates, and even the never-Hillary crowd, that are not going to vote for him because of the stupid things he says, and because the left-wing media is going to destroy him every chance they get. So he's got to be smart. He's got to stick to a script. He's got to get that teleprompter there more often, and he's got to stop with these stupid ad-libs, because that's what's destroying him. They're going to paint him worse than the Democrats did to Goldwater in 64. They're already making the inevitable parallels and analogies to Goldwater and a potential landslide. I don't want to see Hillary under any circumstance be in the White House. But if the Trumpster doesn't at least coddle and come up to Cruz guys like me and at least make a sincere apology to Cruz's father for having gone with this bullcrap story about him being involved in the Kennedy assassination.
Well, first off, now look. He never said that. He never said his father was involved in the Kennedy assassination. I love this stuff. It's out there. Oh, these are the media narrative is out there, but even intelligent, quasi well-informed people like you believe this stuff, sir. He never said it.
Applied it. That's the point. He went along with the story because that way he finished off Ted Cruz and he had the nomination clear sailing.
He went along with the story? Are you serious? He didn't go along with the story, and moreover, he didn't use that story to finish off Ted Cruz. You know what finished off Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz finished off Ted Cruz, and the people, the good people of Indiana, said, they took a hard look at him, And they said this guy is not a winner. He's not a winner. This guy would be very far behind in the polls. And there's a lot of things about Cruz that are incredibly creepy that have never been talked about. And, anyway, thank you very much, Gino, for the call. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I really want to put it out there. Do you think that anybody who lists themselves as a conservative Republican at this point has an obligation to vote for Trump? And I'm saying you've got a moral obligation. You've got a practical obligation, to quote Gino. There is no way, if you're a thinking person, that you can spin and twist yourself into a pretzel into supporting Hillary Clinton at this point. And I guarantee you, if Ted Cruz were the nominee, he'd be behind in the polls by bigger margins. I guarantee it. Now, you may say, well, Ted Cruz wouldn't have attacked the Kahn family, regardless of how dirty the Kahn family may be. But Donald Trump never attacked the Kahn family also, an invented narrative. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, if Donald Trump says good morning and they don't like his tone, they're going to accuse him with some invented story, and the story takes hold, becomes fact. Dude, keep your focus. Keep your focus. Don't be distracted by these, you know, there's that wonderful saying, Chinese saying, Confucian saying, I think, when the finger points at the moon, the idiot looks at the finger. That's what the media want you to do. That's what the left want you to do. They want you to think he's actually said and done all of these things. Watch the tapes yourself. And just for the record, the Kahn family was not attacked. They were political operatives at the DNC convention. Weirdly, they talked about Donald Trump not having made any sacrifices, and yet they didn't raise the same question about Hillary Clinton, or maybe not so weirdly. Look, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people put Donald Trump where he is now. Many of you did. Myself. Trump is not an invention of the left. He's not a part of a vast left-wing conspiracy. Who are these never-Trumpers? Who are these so-called self-appointed true conservatives? Who did they vote for in 2004, 2008, 2012? The people who put Donald Trump where they are regular middle-class Americans. And they may not be the elite. They probably aren't. They're regular people with modest dreams. And maybe some of them are a little rough around the edges. But the people who put Trump where he is are people who get up every day and go to work every day just so they can keep a modest roof over their heads and their families, clean clothes on their backs, a decent meal on the table. It is their children, these average middle-class modest Americans, it is their children who become the cops, the soldiers, the firemen. They work on the railroad, or they learn welding. The love of America that these people have, and the America that they love, is always present, and Donald Trump is speaking to them. Who are these so-called true conservatives? They've done an awful job. Would that be Dole, McCain, Bush, Romney? I want to know where the true conservative is who's going to conserve Western culture. For goodness sake, ladies and gentlemen, where is that person? Now, some people will say that Ronald Reagan wasn't really that conservative. Ronald Reagan was purely conservative. If you doubt it, go read his CPAC speech of 1977. And I will give you some comments from it, not read specifically word for word, but from my memory what he said, and my memory is really good about the point he was making. We were warned, by the way, by Goldwater, by Reagan, that there would be people who emerged and they would call themselves Christian conservatives or constitutional conservatives. They would call themselves all sorts of names. But there would be an attempted hijacking of the conservative movement. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, how conservative Donald Trump actually is? Do you realize that? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that these never-Trumpers are, by definition of their actions, showing themselves to be closet Democrats? Now, some people are addicted to poll numbers. Well, I got news for you. Things happen. Polls change. October surprises come. Sure, things have gone a little bit against Trump lately. They go a little bit against. How could it not, with the endless barrage of nonsense and fiction and fantasy that they're creating about this man? Sure, they've gone against Trump lately, but mark my word, polls can just as easily move, and they can move quickly. And they can move for Trump and against Clinton. So to you conservative radio hosts saying Trump will for certain lose, I will say this to you, panic is not a virtue. And it's time to really decide if you have an obligation on every level to support this man. Whatever your reasoning is, instead of stopping along the way and joining in the bashing of this man, the relentless bashing of this man. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Got to take a quick little break. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Back with you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we're just having a funny conversation during the break. I was making the point that the panic being shown by these never-Trumpers is not a virtue. It's a hideous thing. And they're the ones whose fingerprints are on the knife that they're stabbing in the back of Lady Liberty here. You want to get into a conversation about whether it's a question of character and compare Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton to the question of character? Do you think polls matter? Do you think the media has gone so far, and they're playing you for idiots, by the way, do you think other people see that the media is no longer biased, that they are part of a 40-year socialist march? You think people see it? Mary, W-M-A-L, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Mary?
Yeah, how's it going?
Really good. I'm delighted to be speaking with you, just the two of us like this.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. You're right on target about your analysis of the entire everything that you've talked about, and these people are establishment. You know, they're fighting to keep what they've been doing for the past, you know, umpteen years. That's what they just don't want to change like that. But
you know, Mary, I'm going to talk more in detail about that very point in the second hour because you're making a great point.
Yeah,
and the fact is that if Donald Trump is causing a revolution in the Republican Party, it needed to happen because there is a very ugly stripe that they call themselves constitutional conservatives, they call themselves Christian conservatives. They're very unpleasant, and it's an ugly stripe. They're not invitational to people to join the great conservative movement. And this, I think you would agree with this, this needed to happen.
You agree. And quite frankly, you know, everyone up in arms because they think he's, quote, saying stupid things. He's actually saying quite obvious things. He does use a figure of speech quite often, but if you know what he's talking about, he's usually right on target. And quite frankly, at this point, I really don't care how he expresses himself because I've just found that the media, the Clintons, everybody else, you know, they're going to twist anything he says. I don't. If a baby's removed from an auditorium, they're gonna twist that up and make it into something bigger. So at this point, I really don't care.
And tell me very quickly, Mary, what do you think of these so-called conservatives who are not going to support Trump? It's ludicrous, isn't it?
I think they're big liars. You know.
Exactly my point, Mary. We're gonna have to scoot because of a heartbreak. I love your call. Thank you so much for calling. She's right, ladies and gentlemen. She's dead right. If actual constitutional conservatives run away like little girls to let Hillary appoint judges, what kind of conservatives are they really? I mean, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So the most logical question before us is, where is the Never Hillary movement? If we had our heads screwed on right, if our brains were engaged, and we were not buying this endlessly hideous and false narrative about Donald Trump, and let's repeat again, ladies and gentlemen, our aim at this point is to get Donald Trump elected. We have no other aim. We're not going to apologize for him. We're not going to explain him. We're going to get him elected, and that's what we've got to do. Where are the Never Hillary people? That's, if your brains were screwed on right, that's the big movement that would be happening in this country. A big movement. I got to take a personal moment. Dr. Michael Savage, by the way, it's Tucker Bansky. I didn't mention that. Filling in for Michael Savage. Phone number 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Website, www.michaelsavage.com. Michael Savage is one word there. Personal note. Michael Savage is someone I've known for, I think we figured out the other day, 10 or 11 years. Personal friend. We dine together. We know each other. Our families know each other. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I was so incredibly happy to see Michael get his due in the Radio Hall of Fame. And this is not the moment of the show where the guest host sucks up to the real guy who's supposed to be here. I don't need to do that. Not here or any other show. But I was so happy because what you don't know is radio is a very dirty business and it's a hard business. And you out there, you listen, you don't need to know all this, but you out there, you listen, and you hear a sort of mosaic of people who you think are all friendly and like each other and think alike. And that is hardly that. It's a hard business. There were forces, really, really strong forces, that did not want Michael to win that prize. And, you know, it's a long-running show. He's a very unique and wonderful host, and I'm so... meant a lot to him. I will just to give you a little tiny personal taste. Yeah, Michael's a really good guy, and he's been very nice and generous to me for the 11 years from the very beginning. And I will tell you something. It meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to your host, Michael Savage, to get that prize. So that's a personal moment, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, are you worried about these polls? Are you worried about these polls? I get it. I will help sober you up. I will help put them in perspective for you. Let's go back in history. Now, the New York Times has just kicked off a new campaign podcast called The Run-Up, okay? And this thing had an episode called The Landslide Odds. And they made the point that Hillary Clinton's advantage over Donald Trump is better than anyone's since her husband, Bill Clinton, beat Bob Dole in 1996. Now, it's always convenient about how far back they reach and how they look at these things over at the New York Times. I don't know why anyone quotes the New York Times, and even I do it, and then I regret having done it. Anybody thinking Hillary Clinton is going to cruise into a crushing win has got to look back at the history here, and you'd be well advised to look back 8 more years than the New York Times did. And as I said to you earlier, the Democrats are scared. Their conduct shows that they do not see this as a cakewalk that they must destroy Trump. The leftist media is scared. I take great comfort from that, and I want you to take great enthusiasm from the fact that they are running scared. If they weren't running scared, they wouldn't have to conduct themselves like this if they thought this was such a shoo-in. So if you go back 8 years prior to the Bob Dole, Bill Clinton election of 1996... Anyone thinking Hillary's going to cruise into a win has to go back and look 8 years earlier, to 1988. About this time, right now, end of June, early August, 28 years ago, Michael Dukakis, who was then the self, and what you'll find is that there's a lot of interesting parallels. There were a lot of rumors that Reagan voters were fleeing Bush in droves for Dukakis. Does that sound familiar? Anything like what we're hearing today? Now, you know, I know, that these poll numbers right now are extremely volatile. They're volatile in any presidential election. There's a lot of national polls. Be careful, by the way. I've never, ever looked at national polls myself. I look at a lot of other things. Be careful about reading too much into national polls. Anything can happen. They're scared that we're starting to talk about the fact that Hillary Clinton appeared to be using the State Department to run a personal slush fund. They're scared that people are starting to pay attention to her lack of ethics for 30 years or so. They're scared that people are starting to pay attention to her erratic behavior. There are no sure things in this election. And I'm seeing a lot of people start to believe that this is all sure, that Trump is... I'm hearing conservatives on the radio. I almost never, ever listen to conservative talk radio for this very reason. I'm hearing people say, disgustingly and inaccurately, that it's guaranteed that Trump will lose. And these people are the self-appointed constitutional conservatives, which makes you ask the question, if indeed they are constitutional conservatives, then why are they not out there vigorously appointing Trump if they want to defend the Constitution? Because the alternative is someone who will not defend the Constitution. From the Supreme Court, which everyone talks about, on down. What these so-called conservatives are out of their minds by not supporting Trump. They're doing great damage from the Bushes and onwards, the usual, you know who all the characters are. These never-Trumpers need to be looked at very closely. So, you know, Trump was out there saying that Obama founded ISIS. Do you understand what he meant? You know what he meant? 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. Do you know what he meant? Do you think he was right to say it? Do you think, ladies and gentlemen, given the information that I just gave you, that the polls matter at this point? Do you think that if you are not a leftist, that you at this point have an obligation, a moral obligation, a practical obligation to vote for Trump? Whether you call yourself a Christian conservative, a constitutional conservative, do you believe that you've got a moral obligation? Mr. Cruz and others, do you believe you got that as an obligation? Do we talk about the question of character anymore? Do we think character matters? Character is the number one issue that matters. You know, they talk about Trump going off the handle, saying things he shouldn't. And when you look into those stories, they're almost not true, almost always not true. They're part of a media narrative. They never, ever, ever take some of the outrageous things that Hillary Clinton has said that equal those of Trump, by the way. Some of the outrageous things that Obama has said that equal those of Donald Trump, by the way. They never talk about English politicians because you think Trump says things that are quite ridiculous and outrageous sometimes. Listen, you've never really paid attention to what the British politicians say to each other. Oh, my goodness. That's off the charts. You got to look behind that. You got to look to a question of character. And when you have queasy moments about Donald Trump, I'll tell you where to look. You got to look behind the picture. Look at the man. And this gives me great, great solace. And I'll say something that is borderline sacrilegious at this point. I look at Donald Trump and his family. These adoring kids. They adore their dad. And they're all successful in their own right. If you notice this, Donald Trump, who's ever had a cigarette, apparently never a sip of alcohol. I hope to be doing both of those things before measurable hours are up. And so, but Donald Trump has these kids who adore him. And they're successful kids with great values. Even Ronald Reagan had the most dysfunctional family, never got on with his kids. And we adore Ronald Reagan. So maybe Trump lacks a little bit of this or that, but he's a smart guy. And he has common sense. Every single one of his detractors and every single person on the left lacks common sense to a dangerous degree, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to talk about conservatism for just a brief moment. I promise I'll get to your call. So many good callers waiting, but I start talking and I hate to put you to sleep with my thoughts. But conservatism. I warned you, Ronald Reagan warned us, Barry Goldwater warned us that there would be groups that tried to reinterpret what it meant to be a conservative. And you've seen them emerge. They use all sorts of cover names, constitutional conservative, Christian conservative. By the way, I have nothing against either of those people when they're being honest about what it is they want. And this was sort of Jerry Falwell's brilliance, or the brilliance of his son. Jerry Falwell, when he supported Reagan, really didn't care that Ronald Reagan had been a once-divorced man with this sort of dysfunctional family. He thought he would be a great leader and great for the country. And he said at the time, he said, this country's already had one Sunday school teacher, and we saw how that worked out. He was referring to Jimmy Carter. And so you have to admire that sort of wisdom. We learned in this primary election cycle that the Christian vote was hardly a monolithic vote. We saw it in Indiana when they threw Ted Cruz to the curb, and he was done. Ted Cruz was one of the most unwinnable candidates, ladies and gentlemen, I've ever seen. Not because merely of his beliefs, many of which were quite weird and many of which were not even conservative. He was an unwinnable candidate because the optics of winning are part of it. And it's a much harder game if you're on the right than it is on the left. The optics of winning on the left, if that was all it took for those on the left, Hillary Clinton would be no place because the optics are horrendous. But the optics of Mr. Cruz don't play. They would have been weird. The voice is weird, the ears are weird, the nose is weird, the smile with its downturn. Have you noticed? How many of you out there noticed that he had this weird smile where the lips curled down on the sides? He looked like an Undertaker. I love Undertakers, by the way. Nothing against someone who offends Undertakers. Don't hope to see one anytime soon. But there's Ted Cruz. I read articles written by some psychiatrist about people who smile that way. It was fascinating stuff. Have you noticed that? Anyway, the point, ladies and gentlemen, was this. That Ted Cruz was an unwinnable candidate. He would be being battered by the media worse than Donald Trump, and he would be in the margins would be far, far, far more different for him than they are with Donald Trump because it's a very volatile election. Now, we look at the question of character. On the question of character, and on the question of common sense, and on the question of a 30-year record, it is astonishing to me that Hillary Clinton has any support. I'm astonished that her own party didn't throw her out. Because the record is horrendous. The crisis of character, the lacking of decent character, is horrendous and very concerning. Lots to say about all of this. Now look, Trump may lack certain experience and certain finesse, but the other side, the establishment, they're lacking common sense. They're all doing what Einstein warned you about when the definition of idiocy was to keep doing the same thing over, of insanity was to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And this is what Ronald Reagan addresses in the CPAC speech of 1977 when he actually gives you a working definition, a beautiful definition, a poetic definition. I'm going to give it to you after this break of what it means to be a conservative. If you want to know what that means versus how the left have a worldview, stay tuned here on the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. Phone number is 1-855-400-7282. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I briefly promised you that I would get to this notion of what conservatism is and this idea of Obama's world viewpoint as by contrast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Douglas Urbanski filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, who's not here today. He'll be back soon. The phone number is 1-855-400-7282. Ladies and gentlemen, I will give you Barack Obama's worldview very simply, very easy to understand. It's nothing complicated. It's one of the most simple things you'll ever hear. Barack Obama believes he sees the whole world in a very simple construct. Any single issue at all is put into this simple formula for this man, for this very simple and very poorly read man, by the way. I made the comment before that I've never met or heard of or are aware of the existence of someone who's on the left who is anything other than a low-information person. And you may challenge that all day you want, but you can't be well-read and take the positions he takes. So the construct that Barack Obama has for the world, and Hillary Clinton's inherited some of it, although she's clearly much more interested in self-promotion and money than he is a very simple one. And that is, he sees the world in terms of the oppressed on one hand and the oppressor on the other hand. He sees every situation like this, whether it's gay rights or Israel and Palestine, whatever he sees, one is the oppressed and one is the oppressor. And the oppressor is always, 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 always the bad United States of America. And in that construct, he sees himself as the savior, the corrector, the fixer. Bring America down. She's got it coming. She's got it coming to her. Bring her down. Now, Ronald Reagan, and I'm going to try and do this here. I've had a long time. I got about a minute and a half left. Ronald Reagan defined conservatism in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And I want to go back because it was so pure. It was so pure and so beautiful. He made the point that to be a conservative, you could create the greatest and most powerful political movement, an unbreakable political movement in history. And the conservative movement has been undermined by a lot of people who are in it who are not genuine conservatives. I would say Ted Cruz would be one of them. That shocks you. But as I unfold the true definition, the blueprint definition, you'll see my point. The Bushes, I mean, obviously everyone knows they're not conservatives, and their conduct has been detestable lately. Detestable. We haven't even begun to talk about Urbanski's constitutional amendment called the Dynasty Amendment, where we forbid dynasties to ever be elected here. That's a whole topic. I'll save it for the third hour. But Reagan made the point that for this great conservative movement, this unbreakable political force, you had to have... And you could do this by having a lot of people get together who disagree on lots and lots and lots of different things. But they would all agree on one simple thing. He made the point that conservatism is not an ideology, and it's not a rigid ideology. Leftism is. He makes that point. Leftism is a hard, rigid, lockstep, zombie-like ideology. He makes the point that conservatism is something very specific, and you're going to have to stay tuned to hear what it is after we come back from this break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I did something the other day that I think you may find very weird. I was in London. It was the day before the start of the Democrat National Convention, and I had to go to the gravesite. I'd never been there, of Karl Marx, and had my picture taken there, made a very sinister picture with a face full of editorial comment, of course. And there's all sorts of idiots lining up there, bringing flowers and putting them at Marx's grave and all the rest of it. Whitaker Chambers made the point in his great book, Witness. He said, liberalism is the great communist secret weapon. Always remember that, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. 1-855-400-7282 is the number. www.michaelsavage.com is the website. And I was going to tell you Ronald Reagan's very simple and very beautiful description of conservatism. And I want you to really open your minds about how we think that way. And how far some of these self-appointed conservative experts have taken it to mean something it really doesn't, and something rather creepy, in fact. Reagan made the point that conservatism, in fact, was not an ideology. He made the point that leftism was a hard, rigid, zombie-like ideology. He made the point that you could, as a conservative, build the greatest political movement in history. And he almost did it. Trump may do it yet, folks. I mean, a lot of people are afraid of what's going to happen to the Republican Party once we're post-Trump, if he loses, which they all assume he's going to lose, or even worse for them, if he wins. The status quo will be broken by a man who's a pretty smart guy who can't be bribed, versus the other people who have no common sense and who we know a lot about their record, and everything we know about the record of the other side is not good. It is bad. It is repugnant. It is horrible. Reagan said we can build the greatest political coalition in history if you got together lots of different people from all kinds of different groups who disagree on lots of things, but they had to agree on one thing. And the one thing they need to agree upon is that you abandon the things of the past that do not work. You abandon the things of the past that do not work. And you embrace the things you've learned that do work, Hillary, Ted. You embrace the things that do work. He said beautifully. He said, in short, conservatism is knowing when to come in from out of the rain. It's poetic. It's beautiful. And I can't put it any more beautifully than that, ladies and gentlemen. I can't top that. So with the Hillary side of things, and with these Never Trumpers, you know precisely what you're going to get, and none of it's good. There's also the chance that there will be an October surprise. You know, WikiLeaks hasn't finished. Julian Assange has not finished. That is why I make the point. If you're not a leftist, don't you believe you've got a moral obligation at this point to vote for Trump? Don't you think that the strangest part of the story that's missing is where are all the Never Hillary people? Where is that movement? Don't you find it odd for all of these conservatives who are convinced, so-called conservatives who are convinced that Trump is going to lose, that they begin the very premise with the idea that Ted Cruz would be doing better? That he would be having a better time? Were you fooled? Do you understand what Trump meant when he said that Obama founded ISIS? Of course you did. Do you trust these polls? You think, as I pointed out earlier, that the question of character matters most of all? Trump may lack certain things, but he does not lack common sense. The other side lacks complete common sense. We have their record to go to show it. I want to go to your calls. Mario, you've been holding a long time at WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. I just wanted to say I'm from New York, New Jersey area. I drive around all day, and I have a group of friends that I play a lot of sports with. I'm 73 years old. Everybody I know is voting for Trump. You cannot, under any condition, believe anything the media puts out. Fox barely puts out. They slant it a little bit, but they're about the light at the end of the tunnel. But when I heard last week the media, especially CNN, about that Norwegian terrorist that killed that girl in London, that American girl, her name was Jennifer, and they described him as a Norwegian terrorist, a Norwegian citizen of Somali descent. I knew right then and there that we don't stand a chance. You know, Trump has got to stay what he's doing, and I'm going to tell you something. When they go into that first debate, if I was Donald Trump, I would come at her with both guns, right on TV to everybody, and your husband lied on TV, and you swore it. It's time to pay for Monica. And that will shut her up once and for all. And let me tell you something, my friend. When you have power and you don't use it, you're doomed. And that's what these whatever you want to call them out there, ISIS, this, that, and the other thing, they recognize this guy as who he is. And I know what Trump was saying. He may have exaggerated a little bit that he was a founder.
Mario, everybody knows what Trump was saying. That's the joke. Here's the bigger thing, Mario. Don't you agree that if you're not getting your news from listening to talk radio and doing your own work on the internet, that you're not actually getting any of the real story because the narrative about Trump that they've created is so entirely false?
It's ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you something at best, what Obama is. He's a complete illusion. At best, he's ISIS's lawyer because that's who basically he really is. And I'd like to bring something else out.
Yes, quickly there, Mario.
You think the narrative would have been different if they would refer to this president as who he really is, a biracial president, not an African-American president? It would have changed the whole tenets of...
Oh, Mario. We left that long ago. We knew the press was going to be dishonest about creating this character, didn't we? But you're exactly right, Mario. You're exactly right. Thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation. I would like to go to George, WMAL. You've been holding a long time, George. I'm interested in what you have to say. How are you today, sir?
Hey, good. Yeah, thanks. First of all, I'm on the fence between Trump and the Libertarian.
So does that mean you're calling me for help, George?
Yeah, maybe, but I also strongly believe that it's not immoral to vote for the Libertarian and not vote for Trump. Look how many elections have conservatives had to settle for hold their nose and vote for Romney, hold your nose and vote for McCain, hold your nose and vote for Bush, hold your nose and vote for Dole. I mean, it's time.
I think my big point of raising the question that if you're not a leftist, that you've got a moral obligation to vote for Trump, and that is my viewpoint. You've got a moral and practical obligation. My worry being. Not my worry, the reality being that if you don't, and I'm not talking so much to you, George, as I'm talking to those those never Trumpers who claim they're conservatives are, and it's hysterical, they claim they're conservatives, and yet they know very well what Hillary's going to do to the Constitution and the courts, and yet they still, I mean, it's amazing that they would do anything to get her elected at this point. And the great worry is not really whether you're going to hold your nose or not, but, and I have a really good friend of mine who's with you on the Johnson matter, but the real question is, and you know it and I know it, and I respect your right to vote whoever you want to vote for, of course, in your opinion. However, the great concern is that a wasted vote, and does that put Hillary in office? And the big point here that anyone who has libertarian leanings, as I do, as you do, and I don't know, you know, but I tell you something, George, and some people hate when I say this on the radio. Ronald Reagan, again, he made, this will shock you. Did you ever hear this quote where he said, libertarianism is the cornerstone of conservatism?
Yeah. No, I know that. Yeah,
it is. And the point being that if we have those leanings, whatever you can do to keep Hillary Clinton from office, we've got to do at this point, because you got to vote against her and you got to support the other guy, because if the vote is split three-way, we know how that comes out. We just know, unfortunately, how that comes out. And so, therefore, your fingerprints end up on stabbing Lady Liberty in the back on the knife. If you don't vote for Trump, because liberty starts going out the window if Hillary Clinton is elected. Starts going out the window much further than already has, in fact, if she's elected.
But
you're hesitant on this, aren't you, George?
No, but you know what the assumption there is. The assumption there is Gary Johnson doesn't have a chance. You know, the guy is polling at 11% with zero press, zero support from Republicans, and everything else. If you want a real...
You know, that's another good point, George. We are making the assumption that Gary Johnson does not have a chance, and I'm going to say that's a pretty, you know, as a really informed handicapper, I'm going to say it's a really good assumption. It's a really good assumption, George. I know where your heart is, and I know where your DNA is at, but I want to convince you that at the end of the day, you know, okay, he gets a little bit more in the polls, maybe. Not really going to happen. I mean, if you think the media onslaught is bad against Trump, believe me, nothing will turn the tides, not money, not the media, not anything, of people waking up and saying, this man Johnson must be president, my God, he's got to win, let's make that happen. It ain't going to happen in the next 90 days. That is not even possible.
But see, then it's not going to happen 4 years from now, and it's not going to happen 8 years from now. So we're constantly going to be stuck with non-conservative Republicans.
Well, I make the point that Trump is a conservative. He's a classic conservative, right down to the working definition I just gave.
Not when he donated money to Hillary, and not when he was pro-state. You know, he's somewhat of a statist.
You're welcome to go back. You're welcome to go back to his resume of years ago, or Ronald Reagan's resume of years ago. Let's look at Hillary Clinton's resume, not of years ago. How about a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or 30 years ago? Fact of the matter is, in this election, there is a conservative. It's Donald Trump. His evolution seems to have been very sincere. The things he stands for, are they tick all the boxes of conservatism, and Hillary Clinton doesn't. At the end of the day, it's going to be one of these two people.
Yeah, well, one of those two people, because, you know, look, the Republican establishment would rather have a Republican, obviously, than a libertarian, right? And so
it's not the Republican establishment. It is the fact that the libertarian movement, which is a fascinating and very well-intended movement, Urbanski says, it has never had the grassroots groundswell that it takes to lead up to being mainstream. At the end of the day, we're a two-party country, and any time you get a third party gaining any steam, it has ended up being disaster for the country. So, I mean, I know I'm not going to change your mind, George, because I've talked to, I've encountered many people who have the libertarian viewpoint here, but it ain't going to happen, and that's why I hate to see it wasted. And I really do believe there's, at this point, a moral obligation to vote for Trump, because I don't want to leave anything to chance, including the chance that Johnson somehow has a miracle, and we wake up and he gathers steam in the polls, and he's the guy. Not going to happen. Don't want to rely upon miracles like that. We just got to stop Hillary Clinton at the ballot box. That's what we got to do. George, nothing I say will change your view. Isn't that correct?
Well, no. Like I said, it might. Because if the state is closed, I'll probably pull the lever for Trump. I mean, but it, I just think, I don't know if you watch South Park, and I can't say the two candidates on the radio, but there was a wonderful South Park episode that addresses this to 100%, where the choice that the kids had to vote for was between a blank sandwich and a...
And, George, what is your age?
50.
And what do you do for work?
I'm a consultant and a lawyer.
You're a lawyer. Okay. Well, listen, I'm in the South Park generation. I'm a little older than you, but my kids are grown up, so I've stepped out of it. I used to love it, by the way. But there's a lot of great moral truths one can find in South Park. I don't disagree with you. I got to scoot, unfortunately. George, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Doug Urbanski. I do have to scoot for a few moments. Your calls and much more when we come right back after this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
If I don't squeeze in some more calls here in this hour, we won't get to many who have been holding for a long time. It's not that I'm desperate and have nothing to say. I have a lot to say, but your calls are also valuable to the show here. My voice eventually will grate on you anyway. So I want to go firstly to Paul. By the way, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-855-400-7282. Paul in San Francisco at KSFO. How are you today, Paul? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's an honor to be on the Savage Nation, and I am a Canadian across from Pakistan.
Paul, we have a terrible, terrible connection. You've got to call back your phone. Your phone line is acting up, and I really wanted to talk to you. I love talking to Canadians. I love visiting Canada. Okay, Brenda, in New York City, WABC. Brenda, how are you today, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I'm fine. Those not voting for Trump are not looking at a much bigger picture. Hillary represents the establishment.
You said, you said those not voting for Trump, right?
Those not, right. They know there are far too, the establishment knows there are far too many of us, and they don't want to pay for our welfare, the health care, these robots coming in the future which make us less necessary. I don't think that 40-year socialism plan is what they're up to. I think our only hope is Trump, or we're into suicide. They're going to find ways to get rid of us.
They find ways to get rid of us?
Yes. The population is too high because they have to pay welfare, and it's getting higher with the immigrants that they have to pay for. Their health care, their welfare, all of that is going to come out of pockets that don't exist.
I'm making some notes here. The population is too high. They're going to find ways to get rid of us. Hey, how will you have any idea how they're going to do that? When they're going to do that?
Already doing it with food that's not good, water that's not good, that has lead in it. Mm-hmm. Right in Brooklyn, New York, any home that's over 100 years old has lead pipes. Forget about Flint, Michigan. There are God knows how many millions of people that have lead pipes in their home. There are many, many ways. Look at the food. It's contaminated with chemicals.
Brenda, you're a great call. I got your point. Thanks so much for calling the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, this is an entertaining show, isn't it? You don't always have to rely upon the host for entertainment. I'm not saying her points may not be valuable and valid in her own mind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Charles, WFTL in Florida. Charles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I've been living... I'm about 6 years old. For the first time in my life, we get a chance to say no to the political class. They are the ruling class of today. They replaced the industrialists of the last century and the landed gentry of the century before that.
Charles, we're up against a heartbreak, but you know, sir, and I'm glad you called, you've summed it all up. You've summed it all up. You've explained the entire phenomenon that people have had enough already. They're sick of the establishment. They're sick of the Bushes. They're sick of these non-Trumpsters. We want to bring a smart guy in from outside, our blue-collar billionaire, I call him. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I cannot emphasize this enough, ladies and gentlemen. At this point, the only name of the game, we're less than 100 days from the election. about 90 days or thereabouts. The only name of the game at this point is to get Donald Trump elected and not Hillary Clinton elected. That is the name of the game at this point. Hillary Clinton and the detractors of Donald Trump lack common sense. They have a resume, a rotten resume, miles and miles long at this point, and we can all look and see what that resume exactly is. It's Douglas Urbanski here, by the way. Not Michael Savage. He's not here. I'm filling in for Michael. The phone number is 1-855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. I see many people holding. I promise to get to your calls in due course, and I was making the point earlier, where are the Never Hillary people? Where's the Never Hillary movement? It's the most logical thing to occur of all. And also the bigger point, if you are not a leftist, if you are not a leftist, don't you believe that you have a moral, a practical obligation to your country to vote for Trump at this point? Who are these Never Trumpers? Who are these Never Trumpers? People go around complaining that Trump says that Obama founded ISIS. You understood what he meant, didn't you? Do you think he was wrong to say it? Do you think the polls matter at this point? The evidence is that they're quite volatile. The evidence is that they're quite volatile. Do you think the question of character over actions matters? Character over actions. Because if you want to look at actions, we've got Hillary Clinton's complete record. You know, you've got these so-called mainstream Republicans. You heard about this letter from 50 former national security officials who had served in different Republican administrations declaring that Donald Trump lacks the character and the values required of a president. And they've said he would put our country at risk, our national security at risk, put our country's well-being at risk. And Trump looked at these names on this letter and he said, the names on this letter are the ones the American people should look to for answers on why the world is a mess. Trump said, we thank them for coming forward so everyone in the country knows who deserves the blame for making the world such a dangerous place. This is exactly correct. Exactly correct. He might have added that Hillary, her on the left, and these so-called Republican never-Trumpsters, he might have added that these people are the very ones who are incapable of learning from their mistakes, and they are completely doomed to repeat them over and over and over if they are given the opportunity to do so. The Republican establishment itself had a fever over the Arab Spring, which was stupid to start with. They backed the overthrow and assassination of Gaddafi, which was weird. They turned, you know, places that were relatively stable in that part of the world into petri dishes for terrorism. Now, you may say Trump is at times vulgar. I haven't seen it, by the way, just because he doesn't speak like a politician from D.C. You might say he's poorly spoken. I haven't seen that either. Honest to goodness, hand on heart, I've not seen it. You might say that he gives some sort of credit to Putin where it isn't due. But Trump, ladies and gentlemen, has one thing that all these former 50 officials lack, that Hillary Clinton and her ilk lack, that these Republican never-Trumpsters lack. He's got common sense. Ladies and gentlemen, it is his plain-spoken common sense which has got what got him this nomination. That is why only two candidates in Republican primaries made it past the starting gate. And they both repudiated the Bush foreign policy. So on the one hand, the choice that you've got in this election lies between the unlearned person, although clearly intelligent, clearly with common sense, and on the other hand, you have an establishment whose policy responses are entirely knowable. They're entirely predictable. You do not need a crystal ball. You do not need to be a psychic or a tarot cards to know exactly how Hillary Clinton will treat the world, how the mess will continue. You've got these mediocre ideologues. These mediocre ideologues, these people are incapable of learning from past failures. Let me say that again. Incapable of learning from past failures. And they cling to their careers, their self-motivation, because they are unsuited for honest work. You may say Trump doesn't know enough, but he is capable of learning. He is capable of learning, and the same cannot be said for those who are his detractors. Heard someone this morning saying that Trump doesn't come forward with enough specifics, and whereas Trump is lacking in the detail, he's lacking in the detail. Hillary is lacking in detail, but she's not lacking in resume, ladies and gentlemen. You can look at her resume. You can see it for exactly what it is. I tell you something, my opinion, I think that she is even more unstable, mentally unstable, than anyone out there. She's also, by the way, an extreme narcissist. Extreme narcissist. And we're learning day by day something we've known for years and years, that she is as corrupt as it is essentially possible to be. They talk about Trump's lack of foreign policy experience. Well, she has proven herself utterly and completely inept at foreign policy experience. Mendacious. When her policies fell miserably. And. She's also proven that she's quite willing to place protecting herself and her corruption over the safety of the United States secrets and interests. What do you think the Clinton email scandal is all about? What do you think may come if Wiki has a surprise or if other October surprises land? There is utterly no plausible argument at this moment and going forward until Election Day that can justify not supporting Trump. Because the alternative is a creature not only unfit to be president, but unfit just in terms of her human interactions. Her personal interactions make you very queasy. At least they make me very queasy. So, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the setting the table here. By the way, I tossed it out there a little earlier in the show. Do you think Alec Baldwin would be good to play Trump? That would be my choice. To play him, because he's a good actor. That's a funny thing to say, though. But mentioning someone like Alec Baldwin, there was a time, I was in London during the past 3 weeks, and there was a time watching this stuff from over there. It looked to me, not that Trump had stumbled in what he said, because I don't think he does that. I think you're always buying a false narrative. He throws a baby out of a rally. He says Obama founded ISIS, and we all understand what he meant, and many of us already said the very same thing. Trump says these things. False narratives get written and promoted. He's not afraid of the press. But there was a brief moment, a very brief moment, and it had to do with the Khan family, when it looked to me like Donald Trump was playing offense, playing defense, rather. Now, he had spent the entire primary season playing offense, and he had slipped for a brief moment into playing defense. A politician is playing defense. He can never move forward, can never win, can never do anything. Trump has got to keep Hillary on defense, on defense, on defense, explaining her actions, explaining herself, explaining, keep her explaining. We saw her in the interview with Chris Wallace 2-3 weeks ago. Lying, twisting, turning into pretzels. Chris Wallace sat there and for the most part just didn't confront her, let her get away with it over and over and over again. Weird, right? Really weird stuff. She is unfit. Ladies and gentlemen, the choice is between someone with common sense, who's got a pretty good brain, and people whose record we know, and whose record is really, really, really not good. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, after the continuous policy failures that we have seen from Hillary Clinton and this administration, and from the left, and from these... I'm so glad that we're learning of these so-called conservative Republicans who don't endorse Trump and who don't support Trump, that we're finally getting a look at who they really are, their names, after all of these policy failures, after a world that has been left in such political upheaval and violent upheaval, a world that is left in an upheaval, that these guys are still paraded around on television as experts? These people who've given us all this upheaval, all of this terrible stuff, are the people who've given us, and they're still dosing out our next policy prescriptions. If they were doctors, they would be sued for malpractice at this point. I am not certain that Trump is going to prevail, but I'm also not certain, like many other people who claim to be conservatives, that he's definitely going to lose. I have yet to see in my life, this degree of desperation against a candidate from all sides, and the real kicker, from all sides, from the Democrats, from these, you know, these so-called Republicans, these never-Trumpers, I have never seen such desperation from all sides. The real kicker is that they are failing to convince the multitude of you, because they see you as a simpleton. Do you understand this? That's why they talk down to you. That's why they invent these false narratives about Donald Trump, hoping that you won't be following the truth. And for some, it's working. They see you as simpletons. They see that they, the globalists, they say and they think they are really, really, really fighting for you. Yeah, they're fighting for you, all right? They're fighting for you, all right? What they're fighting for is their own existence. They're fighting for the existence of the old order. Isn't it just amazing how plain old common sense that Donald Trump speaks, isn't it just amazing that plain old common sense can confound the so-called wise people amongst us? I like to think that the majority of Americans have that beautiful common sense, that they're waking up to realize they're being lied to by their politicians, they're being lied to by the system, they're certainly being lied to and misled by the left, they're being lied to by the people on the right who claim they're never Trumpsters, who ultimately are supportive of Hillary Clinton's. If they say they're a constitutional conservative, they clearly are not, because they know what she will do to the Constitution. Americans have beautiful common sense. They're waking up. They're realizing they're being lied to. And that there really, really are solutions in our beautiful Constitution. They're worth fighting for. They're worth protecting. You know, there's all this other thing. Trump has no... he lacks experience in foreign affairs. First place, this is really interesting. What president goes in having had experience with foreign affairs? None. Ronald Reagan was one of the most brilliant at it. He was the governor of California. The one difference here is that Hillary has lots of experience in foreign affairs, and that her experience in foreign affairs is horrendous. Her record is a disaster. Promise I'll get to your calls when we come back. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Got to take a very short time out. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
And we're back on the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. 1-855-400-7282 is the phone number. 1-855-400-7282. The website, Michael Savage's website, is www.michaelsavage.com. Paul in KSFO land, you called in before, your phone wasn't so hot, we're back again. Let's try it again, Paul, shall we? How are you? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm awesome. Great to see you. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
All right. Here's my thing. I've lived across the border from the States my whole life. As a Canadian, we cannot believe that the U.S. people do not see the smokescreen of Hillary Clinton. She is a liar. She got kicked out of Watergate for lying. What more do you need?
And well, you know, Paul, I know this. I know you're Canadian because I just heard it in your accent there. Do you know what the giveaway was?
They listened to the CNN, Clinton News Network.
I think your phone is acting up again there, Paul. How are you listening to us here in Canada?
We live stream you.
I see, from KSFO. I got it. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You're an outsider can sometimes see things more clearly. I'll tell you something interesting, Paul. I was just in London for the past 3 weeks. I'm there quite a lot. I live almost 50% of my time there. I talk to English people, and I mean waiters, from waiters, taxi drivers, people who work, all the way to people who are connected to politics over there and people who are connected to royalty over there. To a man, with the exception of show business people, everyone over there is saying what you just said to me. And they're hoping, their fingers are crossed, everything is crossed for Donald Trump to win. Don't you find that fascinating?
You know what? Sorry to interrupt you, but what happens in your country happens to ours. Now, here's the one thing that we've all discussed. Why doesn't Donald Trump get a guy like Mike Point? Here's what's going on. Because he doesn't get anything from the liberal media.
You know, I don't have an answer to that, but I will tell you this. There may be a sort of wisdom here in what Trump is doing, speaking over the heads of the media. He's brilliant at it. They're trying to stop him from doing it. And I think his name of the game here is to try and redraw the Electoral College, and we will see how well he does this. You know, October is going to tell the tale. Also, with the Clintons the way they are, I wouldn't hold my breath because they always seem to come out of these things just fine. But you never know what the next October surprise about these characters may be. You know what I mean?
But I think Trump says what everybody thinks. And I think there's going to be something happen here very shortly, whether it's, well, she's already been with the emails and she gets away with that. How that happens, I have no idea as a Canadian. But then we've got our ballerina over here, which Donald said, the ballerina, which we agree with over
here. Sure, sure.
Very important to Canadians who wins this election.
Well, and also this you know, look, the left is desperately afraid also of this Hillary, of all these emails, as they're becoming more and more public. We're seeing hardcore conflicts of interest that are created by a situation where Hillary Clinton, in fact, was the Secretary of State running U.S. foreign policy as her husband's foundation was acting for their enrichment around the globe. This is stuff they have to reckon with, and they're terribly afraid of it all coming out. And you just listen to the tone of their voices. Just listen to their voices, Paul, and you see how scared they are of Donald Trump. Thank you so much, by the way, Paul, for calling the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think, as I do, that it's hard to believe that Donald Trump is stupid or as dumb as the media paint in their crazy narrative? More on this when we come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I was making the point before the break that it's very hard for me to believe, impossible, in fact, to believe that Donald Trump is anywhere near as dumb and stupid as the media in their narrative is trying to paint him out to be. It's impossible. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Doug Grabansky filling in for Michael Savage. I'll get to more calls. I see a lot of you so diligently holding over there. No, he can't be nearly that dumb. I mean, you do not succeed in business to the degree that he has by being an idiot. I love it. I found a story. I don't have it here today. Obama was out there saying, because Trump is really under Obama's skin. Again, watch these people. They're scared. They're scared. They're nervous about Trump, and they're scared. And I'm, you know, incredibly disappointed in the Bushes and the characters on our side who should be out there seeing this for what it is. I make this point over and over today to you. These so-called constitutional conservatives, if in fact they were actual constitutional conservatives, why? Why are they running away from Trump like little girls? Why? Why do they want to let Hillary appoint the judges that will actually see the destruction of the Constitution? That's what they're doing, Mr. Cruz and the rest of you. One thing we know about Trump is, look, he is at least a talented executive. He can spot opportunities. He can win the execution of whatever his goals are. He is at the very least capable of selecting people, smart people around him. Of course he's not an experienced politician. That is the thing that you and I actually like about him. Look, folks, I'm trying to recenter you because there's so much noise coming at you from every direction against Trump that you're starting to believe the lies and you're starting to be affected by some of the lies. Don't. The polls are volatile. They will become more and more volatile as we get into October. We have seen the mess that these career politicians, that these career ideologues, that these people have created trying to tell us what the other side on any issue wants. It's astounding. It's astounding to me, this world we're in. But so far, nobody has been able to outline exactly why they hate Trump. What exactly is this man's crime? How can this perfectly orchestrated character assassination attempt on his character all day, all day, every day, by every medium, by every side. What is the bottom line? George Will? George Will went to the mat to destroy this man. Susan Collins, Paul Ryan, the entire Bush family, you know, holding hands on stage with the Obama family. Is that what's next? Donald Trump threatens their standing. He threatens their reputations. They've cultivated the reputations that they're gurus that they are not. In spite of these generalities that Trump is bad for the country, they do not provide any logical, they never do provide any logical explanation of why and how Trump is bad for the national security. Oh no, of course I forgot. He's Putin's agent. He's Vladimir Putin's agent, of course he is. Do they really think that you and I are that stupid? Do they really think that? Promise you'd go to the calls. Ken, WSBA in Pennsylvania, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Ken?
Good, sir, good. You?
I'm great.
The reason why I called, I have to say something real quick before I get to my actual point, is Trump is a doggone genius. If he said things the way that people want him to say it, nobody would care, nobody would listen. He says it in the manner he does, it gets traction, it's talked about forever. After a few days, people think he's a darn genius and they love
him. But Ken, do you think that we are actually watching the art of the deal playing out in front of us in terms of Trump's negotiation with the American people?
He's so far ahead of these guys, they don't even know how to defend him. They have no idea. They're running around like chickens with their head cut off, attacking him from every side. And it's nothing's worse. They don't know what to do with him. He's a complete outcast. They have no idea what to do with him. But the whole point of my call today was with these never Trumpers. My brother was a never Trumper, and I convinced him to vote for Trump with one.
What was your trick in convincing him?
Basically, I told him, listen, you don't like Trump, fine. He doesn't like Hillary either. I said, listen, this is how it works, okay? These never Trumpers, they don't want Trump. In 4 years, they're figuring, well, we can elect whoever we want, and then we'll get whoever we want. By then, it's too late. The country's gone. If Trump gets in and he's a horrible president, it's fine. Then you elect whoever you want in 4 years. But as long as he elects, I mean, as long as he appoints conservative Supreme Court justices, it's a win. We won. The country is where we want it to be ethically, morally. It's on the right track that we feel and the founders feel it should be on. But if Hillary Clinton wins, it doesn't matter what happens in 4 years. Who cares who's president? The country's gone. Your daughter's going to be showering with people with a penis. You're not going to be able to own a gun. Our immigration is going to be just whatever it is. We won't even have a border. It won't matter.
So, but you know, the funny thing is, what on earth was your brother against to start with? Was he against the fact that Trump wants to take care of the vets, that he wants a strong military, that he wants to defeat ISIS? What was he against?
He was a hardcore Cruz guy. And when Trump beat him, it was like basically almost like somebody who's just too arrogant.
I know these hardcore Cruz people are like leftists. When they don't get their way, their worldview shatters and they go into ultimate meltdown.
Yeah, well, but when I pointed out to him what's going to happen in 4 years if Hillary wins, he got to thinking. Said, "Well, I guess you have a point. We have to keep the Supreme Court."
Isn't it? I mean, I'm glad you flipped him and that you got him over to thinking correctly, but it's a little unsettling that they don't get there on their own.
It's like that part of them's block. Like you said, they're like liberals, where all they're thinking when you're mad, when somebody tries to reason with you, if you're mad, you can't be reasoned with. So you got to find a way that makes them think about it. In a day or two, they go, "Oh, I guess that makes sense."
Right. Well, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add while we're having this little private chat there, sir?
That's really about it. I mean, these guys, I don't believe the polling. I mean, everybody I know is all for Trump, or at least against Hillary. I mean, this lady is a borderline communist and a traitor and a felon. I don't understand.
She's corrupt. She's unstable. All the rest of it. We have a resume, she has a resume. And the resume is disaster. And these people, I made the point earlier, I don't know if you heard it, I said at least Trump is a guy who can learn. These people never learn. These people are not open to learning from their failures.
Right, and she's for the status quo as far as the way government works. Everything's over budget, nothing's done the way it should be done, everything takes longer than it should be. And they don't like the fact that Trump's going to stop all that, and everybody's gravy train's going to go away.
It's so true. It's so true. All right. Well, listen, Ken, great to talk to you. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation, speaking to a mere guest host. Delighted to have you. Let's go to another call. San Francisco, KSFO. Norm, you've been holding a long while. Norm, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Delighted.
Uh, I was reading today online about this whole thing about, you know, Hillary, you know, released her tax returns.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I'm trying to find out, and I can't reason in my mind, what someone's tax returns got to do with the requisite of becoming president of the United States. Is this some type of law that we have that everybody's got, that's running for president has to release their tax returns?
Hey, do you remember this one, Norm? Do you remember when Ted Cruz was out there and he said that the reason Donald Trump didn't want to release his tax returns was because it would show mafia ties? Do you remember that one?
No, I don't think I heard Ted Cruz say that, but...
But he did say it, and I always wondered, was there a special box that you ticked on the tax return that said mafia ties? Because it's crazy. These are both rich people. The Clintons are rich not by earning the money, not by making the money, not by building anything, running anything, by total selling themselves and political influence, completely and nothing else. Here's a man who's built. They're both rich people, and we saw her tax return today. No big surprises there. There's no big surprises in his tax return. The fact of the matter, I'm much more interested in getting her medical records precisely because they don't want to release them.
And I want to say that the biased press, the propagandists, the Third Reich, I am so sick of listening to these people and their nonsense. I can tell you right now, I think there's more people out there right now going to vote for Trump, but don't want to say anything, because every time you mention the word Trump, you get in a big fist fight or an argument with somebody. So I think they're just tired of talking about it. When it comes to the polls and election day, they're going to go into that booth and pull that lever for Donald Trump. And the reason why, because they don't want, middle class needs to fight back, and we're fed up with paying all these taxes. And here's a government that hasn't balanced their budget in 40 years. Our debt is now at $21 trillion. I can't believe that people really want another 4 years of this nonsense. I don't believe it. So I believe Trump is going to win this and win it going away, because this lady, the Clintons, have nothing but a cloud of crap and deception for the last 30 years. And I can't believe the people on the liberal left and the Gestapo press and the...
All right, Norm. I think I got your point, and you know that I agree with it. I'm really delighted that you called the Savage Nation. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed talking to you, Norm. I'd like to talk to... I promised so many of these people I'd get to them. I'd like to talk to Roy, taking up on a point that I made a little bit earlier. Roy, where are you, in Idaho?
Yes, hello. During the convention, Julian Assange was talking about how he's just going to very soon release these huge bombshells. He's going to put her in jail, and then everyone's yelling, jailer, jailer. Okay, on August 2nd, he released two things. He connected the fact that he's got documents that she was a director of Lafarge Corporation, which funded ISIS, got $100,000. Then he also released the information that it wasn't the Russians who gave him the emails from the DNC. It was a DNC staffer who was then killed. I haven't heard anything about the Lafarge thing, and I think I heard one person on a midnight talk show mention the fact that he identified who gave the leak and that the guy was murdered. They found him, he had all his money in his watch and everything on him.
I know that Michael Savage talked about it here earlier in the week. It's a real scandal, isn't it, that the press won't talk about this, that they won't even go near this at all. They won't...
Yeah,
I mean, at some point, here's what the press is afraid of, and you can tell it in their tone of voice. Their voices are becoming higher. Their words are becoming a little more hysterical. They are afraid that these files, that the scandals, that the corruption of the Clinton family is going to gain some real traction. You can tell they're afraid. Are you noticing this as well?
They're going mad. There's virtually a blackout. It's a blackout. You can go on the Internet, but only, you know, maybe 10% of people go on the Internet. And if something is not mentioned on TV or the radio, all they need is 80, 85% who never hear about it, and then they keep that level.
Well, the only way we will know what's going on is if you do your own work. You cannot buy what the media is feeding you on television.
Absolutely.
You've got to listen to conservative talk radio, and you've got to poke around on the Internet yourself and really educate yourself and put a little bit of effort into it, because there's so much noise. The noise is meant to distract. I said the comment earlier. The Chinese comment, when the finger points at the moon, the idiot looks at the finger. That's precisely what they want you to be doing.
But that Lafarge thing was the big bombshell. Everyone
it was.
For. And if they're going to ignore that, who cares about an October surprise? They'll ignore it.
It does. It does. It does. It does. Well, thank you, by the way, Roy, for calling the Savage Nation. Enjoyed speaking to you, as I always do, speaking to callers here. It's Doug Urbanski, ladies and gentlemen. Phone number is 1-855-400-7282. I still see a few of you there holding, and I know you got good points to make. I'm going to try and get to you when we come back in our final segment. Doug Urbanski, we'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
You're back to the Savage Nation. It's Douglas Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage, finishing up with a few callers before the show ends today. Steve in Colorado, KVOR, welcome to the Savage Nation, Steve. Very delighted you're with us. How are you today?
Doug, you're great on the show, man.
Oh, you are very kind. Thank you very much for saying that. I'm a guest host. I'm a mere guest host.
I wanted to say the oligarchs know that the majority of students that go to universities and watch CNN and, you know, So the worst part is that a lot of Americans are still watching TV, and many are waking up, which is great. But the media thinks that I think they're underestimating the mass population is starting to wake up from what's really going on here with the Clintons.
And this is why they would love to regulate the internet too. Don't forget.
Oh, they'd love to regulate, put a meter on my face and charge me for the oxygen I breathe.
That's no joke.
Yeah, no, it's really not. I mean, these people will do anything, and they'll sell their daughters, and they'll kill their own family members if they have to stay in power. They're so desperate and demean. You know, they're so demonic. But what
worries me, Steve, is that I see these narratives, these completely invented lies about Donald Trump being told and promoted and spelled out by the media, and I see smart people who were conservatives or Trump supporters believing, without doing any of their own research, believing the current, you know, daily lie about Trump, whatever it the lie of the moment is that is being spread.
I got two really important things to ask you a question. If you know you did your research on the second thing I want to ask you, and
what was the first?
The first thing was about the oligarchs thinking they can fool the whole entire world, but they can't.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the second one, and I really want to get to Trump's statement about the Second Amendment, which I take it totally different than the way the mass so-called media spins it. But do you know about the Clintons, right, when Haiti had that earthquake?
Yes.
I don't know if Mike ever brought out on that and made a show on that, but he should. There's a lot of black folks that were trying to wake up, New Yorkers, that's where I'm from, but they were trying to wake people up in their own community about the...
Look, Steve, there's a bigger problem here, and that is this. We can hold our breath all we want. We've been doing it for 30 years to see if one of these scandals would have any effect on the Clintons. We've been waiting for 30 years. And so I have come to the point where it probably is never going to happen. And if it does, it's going to happen from outside by like Julian Assange or some, because we have no journalism left in this country, no independent, intrepid journalism left, as you know. Would you agree?
I have a true government, you know, protecting the people anyway, but not the Second Amendment.
It is true. But Steve, I thank you for your call, because I just want to finish up the show. We're up against the clock here. Ladies and gentlemen, do not despair. Things happen. They do happen. Polls change. Things are going against Trump because that's the name of the game. Write the narrative against this man. But ladies and gentlemen, things can and may and possibly will move very quickly in this campaign. It is volatile. The numbers are tightening. Julian Assange is out there. There's a lot to happen. Constitutional conservatives cannot run away unless they want Hillary Clinton to destroy the Constitution. Panic at this point, ladies and gentlemen, is not a virtue. It's Doug Urbanski for Michael Savage.